welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan, and my trusty co-host Bill is has been eaten alive by shingles. So I don't know, not a big vaccine pusher, but I'll tell you what, if you have had chickenpox, and I don't care if you're not over 50, because apparently it doesn't, the virus doesn't care. I've met so many people under 50 who've had it, but it attacks your nerves. I always thought it was just a rash. Apparently there's more to it than that, and Bill is in week 3+ of this thing, and it is just not going away, actually. Pretty ugly. So there's my shingles commercial. In fairness to all those of you who are like me, who are like shingles mingles, you know, how bad could it be? Yeah, well, pretty bad. So let's see. Today we're gonna talk about climate change. I'm so excited. I love our climate change shows. And I realized we haven't done any environmental, really, like specifically on environmental issue shows for a while, which is obviously silly and wrong. So this is a layman's look at anthropogenic, got that in quotes, meaning man-made, global warming, with Kurt Stryker. And do we have him on the phone? Oh, we're calling him right now. All right, so we have him on the phone shortly. He's a retired school teacher who taught life, earth, and physical sciences. He's a master's degree and focused his studies on geology and specifically in the study of the ice ages. That'll be handy. He has a keen understanding of how and why climate changes and the environmental science of climate change and global warming. There's so much information that's censored to the general public, and I think we kind of already know that, regarding climate change. And you might be surprised how much the world has been brainwashed. I think if you listen to this show, you won't be surprised at how much the world has been brainwashed, but who knows? Maybe. Maybe not. Anyway, I think that you will learn a lot today, and hopefully the learning starts here pretty quick. What's happening? He's not picking up. That is awesome. So, let's see. I will text him now in real time. Please answer the phone. That's an easy one. And so, anyway, the fun goes on. What else do we have going on? Oh, the lawsuit for Prop 50 in California. So, they remember, we're not suing over, and I say we, using the term loosely, only because I have spoken with Mark Moisher about this, the attorney. So they're suing over the Voting Rights Act and about the racial gerrymandering. So if you have not followed that, I'll put a link on today's page, but really I've got the most information at ShastaGOP.com. And if you go to ShastaGOP.com, the Prop 50 scam page is still up. When you go there, there are a few things that are kind of interesting since we have a few seconds here. The interactive version of the post-Prop 50 maps is up there. I think you'd be, you know, if you have people who live in other places in California, you will see that, honestly, it's just gotten ridiculous. You know, the whole thing has just gotten ridiculous. The districts don't make any sense. And then the second link I have there, I called it interesting third-party site that includes more partisan detail and vote history. So it's davesredistricting.org, and then there's a very long, the rest of the URL is very long. But if you go to that site, it's fascinating. You can just scroll around and you can see the difference in the districts by voting, you know, so how many, you know, independents, Republicans. You don't have to click on it. It isn't a chart or a graph. It's just a list of items, and you can look at them one by one. You can have them all overlaid, and as you move your cursor around the map, those numbers will change, and you'll see some of the districts are just bizarre. I mean, the shape is bizarre. And you're thinking, really? You had to do that to get the right amount of people? Unlikely. So you can go back and forth between the maps we have now that were drawn by an independent commission and then those. So the calculus was that it was unlikely that if they sued over constitutional violations and the many, many things that were wrong with the process, that that would be dismissed by the courts. So they decided to jump in on the Federal Voting Rights Act and take it that route. So you had a Supreme Court decision recently regarding that on the Texas redistricting. So we don't know how all of that is going to play against our, you know, our situation. We just don't know. So let's see. We're not getting Kurt. So how about, why don't you pull one of my songs from my fun global warming thing? And I'll call him on my phone since I do not have Bill to, I do not have Bill, my trusty foil, to run my airtime with me here. I could make Alex just talk about nothing. Alex is like, yeah, that won't work.
I can talk about tons of stuff.
Well, there you go. This is your time. Oh, my gosh.
All right, I'm going to play Bon Jovi, Bad Medicine while you try and...
Oh, we like that one. That's a fun one.
All right, here we go. Winging it. I love it.
And of course, I had no plan B because I'm not really a plan B kind of person.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, it's just not my deal. So that's exciting. Super exciting. Not fired up about that. So our guest, Kurt Stryker, is somewhere off in the great beyond. I got his voicemail. Boo. So I'm going to give you an article back to Prop 50, so at least I can keep something consistent. So back to Prop 50, it was interesting because John Fleischman wrote an article about why Prop 50 passed in a landslide, and I don't know how many people really follow all of that stuff, but it was really kind of worth keeping track of because I do not think, regardless of where you live, I do not think this is just a California thing. I do not think that this is the only time it will happen, unfortunately. And who knows? Might be coming for you. So for all those people that thought that there were a lot of people who didn't vote, that happens all the time. You know, all this is so ridiculous. It'll never pass. You know, you always hear that. Yeah, it might. And if it did, that would be super bad. So he talked about a few things. So I'm gonna give you this article here. So Proposition 50 does exactly what critics warned it would. It has now sidelined California's Independent Redistricting Commission for congressional seats until 2032, and it has substituted a set of partisan maps designed to flip five Republican-held districts into reliable Democratic seats while shoring up Democrats in an equal number of competitive seats. So let's unravel that for people who don't follow this kind of stuff. We have 52 congressional seats in the state of California. And you're looking at nine of them in the current mapping. Nine of them are held by Republicans, which is obviously a very low percentage. So they felt the need to take five out and leave us with four Republican representatives. And people will say, well, other people could run. I mean, that doesn't mean that they can't run. No, it doesn't. But if you happen to kind of glance at the map, there's a green one. There's a green section at the top of the state. That's the easiest one to eyeball. It is now District 2 at the top of the state. So it's Modoc, Siskiyou, Shasta, you know that. But it goes all the way down to Marin County, and we've spoken about that before. So although that's ridiculous, and those people all have nothing in common, and there's no industry commonality, there is no social commonality, there's no tie with farming, it just doesn't make sense that all of that is grouped together. But the interesting thing is all of these seats were drawn for all is a big word. Many of these seats were drawn for specific legislators. So that one was drawn for Jared Huffman, who is currently the congressman in District 2. A Democrat, avowed socialist. He used to be the attorney for the Natural Resource Defense Council, who was part and parcel involved in the Central Valley water situation. So he hasn't done anything that would benefit the folks in Northern California with all their battles with water, and I'm sure he loves wolves. So all the things that we try to fight, he is busy undermining. So that's great. That is a plus or minus 25-point advantage to Democrats as that seat goes. So someone could run in that seat, but the likelihood of them being able to flip that seat to a Republican seat, basically kind of zero. I realize, you know, things happen, but you would have to get a huge percentage of Democrats to swing over. And I believe in this political climate, there isn't anybody who's that, optimistic, right? So then you look at the next district down, District 1, and you realize, okay, that's terrific, but that seat was cut for Mike McGuire, who is a state senator and president pro tem of the state Senate. And okay, so he has a huge advantage there, 11, 12 points. That would be worth jumping in on. The congressman for our area, Doug LaMalfa, is currently running in that district. So let's just say that the courts take a look at this on the 15th, because that's the magic day, and they decide that, there's possibility. How about that? I don't know if it has to be likelihood, but maybe there's a probability that that will go through, right? If, in fact, they think that the maps will be reversed from this new Prop 50 change, they may just say, look, you have to keep the same maps until we sort this out in court. But let's say they lose in court. That means in the next election, 2028, these weird maps would go in. So there's like a lot of stuff in play. This is not a done deal, and there are a lot of weird moving parts where, you know, I asked Mark Moisher in the show we did with him here a couple of weeks ago. I said, well, so, you know, what are the odds that this will get flipped? He's like, yeah, nobody can really give you that. Nobody knows the odds. So I was like, okay, good to know. So we watch. So that's kind of, you know, the seats, how the seats lay out. And that's happening in other places. So again, people think, well, you know, you can still run in those places. Yeah. But if it's advantaged, I would encourage you to scroll over the map and, you know, on that Dave's redistricting, mapping, thing. And you'll see that in most cases, it's 60, 70, sometimes 80%, Democrat. They made sure that it was very, very weighted. And, when that happens, like, to give you an idea, television in that District 1, the second district, from the top of the state, from Oregon, that district, just to run television over in the area that is really heavily populated, is like, I don't know, $500,000 a week. Who's going to raise that kind of money? You know, that, and good grief, what if somebody was out of town that week, they missed all your ads, you just spent $500,000. So when you look at that, it's that's a powerful problem. And really kind of goes against, you know, so for all the people who voted for it, you might have friends or you might be them, and you're thinking, well, you know, it's to save democracy. Well, we're a representative republic, and I realize there's a democratic element to it. So when we vote, you know, it's a 50 plus one situation on our representation to elect people. But this doesn't further democracy. This actually encourages people to stop participating and tells them that voting doesn't matter because now their vote won't matter. So, not great. He goes on to say what makes its passage especially striking is that Californians overwhelmingly like the Independent Commission. According to a Public Policy Institute of California survey taken last month, 72% of voters say that it has been mostly a good thing that redistricting authority was taken away from the politicians and given to the Citizens Commission back in 2010. That view holds across party lines, across regions, and across demographic groups, even among the very voters who supported Prop 50. In fact, majority of both yes voters, which was 77%, and no voters by 67% agreed that the commission has been a positive reform. Yet Prop 50 didn't just pass, it passed overwhelmingly. So the question is why? The first is execution. So once Governor Gavin Newsom decided to pursue new maps, the Democratic leadership across California aligned instantly. Legislative obstacles were swept aside because they have a two-thirds majority and can make their own rules. Legal challenges were dismissed out of hand by the Democratic stacked state Supreme Court. Yeah, say that fast. Public and private employee unions, as well as significant businesses that either get subsidies from or are regulated by the government. They wrote massive seven-figure checks very quickly. The nearly $300 million cost of staging a special election, that's what it cost all of the counties in the state, all the 58 counties. That was treated as incidental. They kept saying it was a nominal cost. When one party controls every institutional lever and uses it, there appears to be no safeguard capable of slowing or stopping such an effort. So then the second and arguably decisive factor was message framing. And I think we all saw that regardless of which team you were on. Prop 50 was not sold to voters as a technical change to the redistricting process. It was sold as a symbolic blow against Donald Trump. That framing transformed a complex procedural question into a simple yet powerful statement. The mechanics are abstract. Dislike of Donald Trump is visceral. In a state where opposition to Trump has become a political identity, that alone was enough to anchor support. The more the campaign tied the measure to national politics, the less the specifics mattered. Emotion outperformed process, and it almost always does. So I think we all saw that. This had nothing to do with Donald Trump, but people were willing to set aside how it would work, sometimes set aside their own interest. I mean, I have people who are farmers in Northern California who will be hurt by this process and by the representation they will now be getting. And they were willing to do that because it was so vital that we sent a message to Donald Trump. Ridiculous and kind of crazy, but that is where we are these days. So let's see, Alex, we still have to take a break. Is that correct?
Yeah, we can do that if you want. And
all right.
Kurt, please call.
Kurt lives in Santa Rosa. I'm going to blame Santa Rosa for this. Has anything happened in Santa Rosa? Where has he gone? So if you want to find other shows that were actually really well done that have good content, you can go to We the People Radio. .us and listen free of charge.
All right, here we go, guys. No whining this time. And one, two.
Whew. Man, it's hot in here.
Seriously, dude.
There's a crisis on the planet. It's heated up almost a whole degree. It hasn't been this hot in a long time, not since the 16th century, when there were no evil SUVs. Stop global whining, it's up to you. The Earth's been heating up and cooling back down since the day it started spinning round and round. Stop global. out of the clouds.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Yeah, I figured I'd play that because we're kind of in a ring of fire right now.
I told Alex, I go, oh, it's a good thing I'm Irish. We've been chit-chatting about things randomly for centuries. I'm pretty sure that's how we outwitted all of our enemies and stayed safe. We actually either made fun of them, which is tough because I've got nobody to make fun of today. It's very brutal. So we either made fun of them or we talked them to death. Well, there was a lot of drinking, too. There was that.
Yeah, that helps.
There was a tremendous amount of drinking. And I think they were pretty savvy warriors. History, I think, will bear that out. All right. So let's scurry back to Prop 50, because I do want to finish this. It is worth noting how this happened, because, well, I, like, bite my tongue, but, you know, this kind of thing will happen again. It's not the first time. Not the first time we've made bad choices here, and not the first time other states have made bad choices. So another point here, the funding imbalance reinforced the advantage. The Yes campaign raised over $170 million. So it isn't to say that people didn't donate to the No on Prop 50 campaign. It just didn't, and it wasn't that people didn't try. I would never throw anybody in this effort from top to bottom under the bus. I mean, we had people in Northern California counties who printed trifold brochures and walked them to, I think it was like 3,000 doors they walked in Siskiyou County. People became very, very involved in this. So it wasn't one of those things where everybody just decided they were going to sit down and try to slide uphill and get away without doing anything. So the opposition fundraising never reached the scale required to counter the level of saturation. The Yes side outraised the No side by a crushing 2-to-1 ratio, a difference made more pronounced because almost all of the No on 50 funds were spent very early, much of it before the ballots were mailed out. A decision was clearly made back in Washington that the amount of additional campaign funding necessary to try to defeat Prop 50, as much as another $75 to $100 million, was not going to work. With finite national resources, they decided, which is reasonable, that their campaign funds would be better used in dozens of competitive House seats elsewhere in the country, many of which were already held by embattled Republican incumbents. Once that strategic call was made, the Yes side had the airwaves largely to itself during the critical voting period when ballots were already in voters' hands. And I'll tell you, I ran into people all the way up until November 4th who were like, well, what is this anyway? For heaven's sakes, everybody got a mail-out ballot. I think most of us disagree with that process, but it still is the process for this point in time. And when people got them, they either didn't look at them, saw that it was one thing, didn't know what it meant, threw them out, decided to wait, find out about it later, and then, boop, clock ticked. Third factor was the official ballot title and summary, which, of course, we always knew was going to be bad, written by Attorney General Rob Bonta. The voter guide described Prop 50 as requiring congressional districts to be drawn, quote, in the same manner, unquote, as state legislative districts by the Citizens Commission, language that suggested continuity and procedural fairness. Meanwhile, that was only a suggestion. For many voters skimming the voter guide, Prop 50 appeared to protect the commission's process rather than override it. Combine that framing with a lack of consistent opposition presence during the final weeks of the voting, and it became clear how many independents and even Republicans likely voted yes because they believed they were defending the very system the measure was intended to replace. California just demonstrated that reform can be popular, respected, and working, and still be erased the moment it becomes inconvenient to those in power. The independent commission didn't fail, it was crushed. And now that the Democrats who rule the state have learned that they can steamroll any safeguard with money, messaging, and muscle, this won't be the last guardrail to fail. So I thought that he laid that out really well. John Fleischman is a Republican political consultant who's successfully passed a dozen ballot measures nationwide, and he writes at sodoesitmatter.com, and I do have that posted on ShastaGOP.com if you'd like to go look, and I encourage you to look at the maps. It's worth it. Especially if you do live in California, you'll be affected by this. And, you know, if you think that they're just going to come back to it later and, you know, they're just going to go back to the way it was supposed to be and all that, highly unlikely. Just highly unlikely. I don't know. Call me negative, but I don't know. I have my doubts.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.